We will now convene the April 13, 2010 City of Daytona Beach Special Magistrate Proceedings. Will those representatives for the City of Daytona Beach who will be testifying at this morning's proceedings please step forward and be sworn?
Do you solemnly swear to the testimony you're about to provide, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
All right, I have reviewed the minutes of the March 9, 2010 meeting. I've approved them, and I've also executed them. So with that, we'll proceed to this morning's agenda, but we're going to take one case out of order. We're going to start with case number 35. Bright Beginnings Academy, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent?
My name is Carly Lucia.
Ms. Lucia?
Lucia.
Lucia. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
Okay. What's your affiliation with Bright Beginnings Academy, LLC?
I'm the owner of the preschool.
Okay. All right. And, okay, with that, I'll go ahead and find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, what is required to come into compliance?
They had the circus Friday, March 12th, and I asked them to shut it down, and they weren't able to. They kept it going over the weekend, and by Tuesday the 16th, it was gone. So they, after being non-compliant, they've now come into compliance, and we're looking for a will fine for the next time.
Okay, what say the respondent?
This is my first time meeting him, so I'm not sure.
Hey, the inspector is saying you went and had a circus on your property without having obtained the necessary permits to do so, and that after he notified you that you weren't allowed to have that circus, I guess the circus continued on nonetheless until, I guess, it ended around the following, what?
About 3 days later. It was started on a Friday, and by Tuesday morning it was gone.
Okay, so then now it's gone. So there's not much we can do about the fact that you already had the circus in and out of town, so to speak. But he's looking for a will fine that says if you ever do it again, you could be brought before the special magistrate and fined up to $5,000 per occurrence. So what say you?
I won't do it again unless I get a permit.
Okay, good answer. All right, I'm going to find the respondent was previously in noncompliance but is now in compliance, but that for every such future violation, respondent may be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. In the future, if you've got any doubts, call the secretary. She'll be happy to direct you to whoever you need to talk to.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank
you. All right. Case number one, Peter Lee is in compliance. Case number two, Five Star of Central Florida, Incorporated.
Good morning.
Brad Shepard.
I do.
All right, we're here for failure to obtain permits for work being done on property, action to be taken. Property was supposed to be secured to city standards by April 6, 2010. Was that done?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so now we're just here for a progress report?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Mr. Shepard, what progress have we made?
Well, all of the tenants have been relocated from the property. Property has been boarded up and secured. the waiting to get signs posted, hopefully this afternoon, tomorrow morning, but definitely in the next couple days for the no trespass arrest program with the city police. We already have the affidavits on file with them, and we are maintaining the property. We've got a porter who's there a couple times a week. So hopefully it's going to be a nice, quiet property for a little bit.
All right, and we were here in part for the determination of a compliance date. Are we at the point where we can talk about that?
Compliance for the violations, or compliance for closing the property?
Okay.
The property is secure to city standards right now, so.
All right, well, I'm having trouble locating the notice of violation. What constitutes compliance? Oh, never mind. There you go. All right, so what constitutes compliance in this instance? Obtaining permits for work being done on the property?
Yes, sir.
And are we obtaining permits, or are we doing something different with the property?
It was our understanding that we had come before. We had asked for an abeyance, basically an abatement of time, to close the property. A new owner is going to come in at some point in time and reestablish the property for tenancy, and at that point in time, the units would have to come into compliance.
So right now, all we're doing is securing the property?
That is correct.
And that's been done?
Correct.
Okay. So what's the abatement or abeyance you're asking for?
Well, there had been a substantial number of citations that were issued to the property, and what we did not want to have happen is all of these fines would start to just continue to accrue on a daily basis. And I mean, I don't know, there's 7,500 of these citations that were out there. So what we had done is we had asked for a stop point. Let's close the property. Let's stop the accrual process.
Okay, let's back up. How many units do we have on this property?
76.
76 apartments?
Yes.
And they're all empty?
Correct.
And everything's secured?
Correct.
And you are planning on moving forward to remodel?
No.
Or tear down?
Neither. We're the receivers for the property.
Okay.
At the end of the day, when the bank, if the bank is the successful owner, they are going to sell the property to someone else. But the receiver is not going to remodel. We're not going to move any tenants into the property. It's closed, and we're going to have it remain closed.
Okay, is this property in bankruptcy?
It's in a foreclosure.
Okay, but not bankruptcy.
Not my knowledge.
Okay. All right. What does the city want?
Is the property secure right now at this time? That's maybe a progress report in 60 days or whatever. How long do you think it could take?
All right. What's the status of the foreclosure action right now? When do you expect somebody to be able to come here to tell us when we might expect something going forward?
Probably another 60 days.
Foreclosure action just start?
No, the foreclosure action's been going for about 6 months.
Is it contested?
I do not believe so. I'm not an attorney.
Okay,
so.
Do you have a trial date?
Don't know. Okay. Do not know.
Who are the attorneys representing you as the receiver?
Loud Stresnick out of Orlando.
And who are any of the other attorneys involved? Any local attorneys?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, what I would ask you to do is leave the name and telephone number of your attorneys with our city attorney.
They have them.
Okay.
In the case, at least on One document I'm looking here, what to snow is the debtor's counsel on the, which is a new bankruptcy.
Is it?
It's a bankruptcy. We're pretty much, don't we have certain restrictions here as far as what, if anything, we can do?
This was the motion for automatic, relief from automatic stay or alternative for adequate protection under an 11 that was filed in December 09. At that time, Snow was representing the debtor by Bob Starr. So they were his counsel. I'm not sure what the status is as of today.
All right, well, then I guess we'll just have to take it one step at a time. I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for the meeting on June 8th of 2010 to give us another progress report. It sounds as though our city attorney already knows who the attorneys are that are involved. So perhaps, Tony, you can get some indication as to how this thing's moving along, specifically as to whether there's any compliance date in sight at all, or we just keep maintaining its status quo. And of course, all this is with the understanding that you're still required to keep it secured to city standards.
Yes, sir.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 3, 400 Beach Street Acquisitions LLC. Yes, sir.
Good progress, Mr. Fekelgia. That's mainly what we're here for. It is still secured to city standards. It is moving forward as you maybe have been reading in the redevelopment. Downtown redevelopment's made approval of sites and so on. So things are moving forward. It's my understanding that a contract was supposed to be secured by this time for the demolition of this particular property. It's unfortunate I was not able to confirm that yet, but it's my understanding the city is still working forward towards that, as you know.
Do we have a compliance date on this yet?
Not yet, sir. Well, I think we did have a May, if I'm not mistaken. No? Okay.
All right, are we in a position to put one on there, or are we going to wait?
Let's just wait for one more progress report, sir.
All right, so next month?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll go ahead and, having heard the progress report from the inspector, I'll go ahead and order the respondent be returned to the May 11, 2010 special magistrate proceeding for the purpose of providing another progress report, and hopefully at that point in time we'll establish a compliance date. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Case number 4, in compliance. Case number 5, Theo Cox.
I can give some testimony to that, sir.
Yes, case number 5, Theo Cox.
Non-compliance, sir. City's requesting a $50 day fine.
Has there been any effort on the part of the...
No, sir. No contact with the owner. Myself and Officer Allison went by again yesterday and today, and it looks exactly like this. Still running auto repair business out of his house, residential section of town.
All of which is prohibited?
Yes, sir.
And you're suggesting $50 a day?
Yes, sir.
Why not $250 a day?
Property value's not worth that much. I figured, you know, $50 a day.
And when was the respondent supposed to be in compliance? April 6th?
April 6th, yes, sir.
I'm going to go ahead and order the respondent be fined the sum of $100 per day commencing April 6, 2010 and continuing each day thereafter until the respondent's in compliance.
Thank you.
Thank you. Case number 6, Carrie Bernadette Smith Ramsey.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm not Carrie Bernadette Smith. I'm Bernard W. Smith. I do.
Okay, I think we're here for a progress report. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, we got progress to report?
Well, we're in the process. The last time we were here, we mentioned the fact that we were negotiating with the community development to do a complete renovation of this project. We're still in process. As of April 8th, we received communication from the City of Daytona Beach Community Development Department saying that we were in process and there were three items that we had to complete. So we just received this a few days ago, but we are in process. We do have application in process, and I think Mr. Stinson might have been in communication with them.
Say the inspector.
I have spoken with Avis Wilkinson from Community Development. There are some issues that the property owner still needs to give them before they can actually get assistance from the city. So there has been progress. Property is still in non-compliance, and I would like to bring them back next month for a progress report to see if they met those.
Is property secured?
It is. It appears to be secured.
Appears to be secured.
Correct.
What does that mean?
That means if I went out there...
Marginally secured.
If I went out there three times, I saw somebody on the property one out of three times. But it doesn't appear that anyone's living in there.
Okay. And so your suggestion is another progress report next month?
Yes, sir.
Okay. What say Mr. Smith to that?
I think the Community Development Department should be able to give us a go-ahead by then.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent return to our May 11, 2010 meeting for the purpose of providing another progress report. Are we anywhere near establishing a compliance date?
Not at this time. There's some issues that the application process for community development apparently is pretty complicated. And there's still some things that the owner needs to do before the community development department can actually grant them the assistance.
All right, then I'll leave it at that, and let me please remind the respondent that the property has to be maintained to city standards throughout.
Yes.
We're willing to work with you somewhat with regard to time, but it's essential the property be secured.
Yes.
So that nothing bad happens in the interim, because we've allowed you additional time to try to do what you want to do.
We'll do just that, for sure.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 7, Elias Amir. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? Okay, what say the city?
The respondent lives in California. He has been in touch with me throughout the entire process. He thought he had sent in the proper funds to get the inspection for the occupational license. It was an error. They had a wrong address. It's been going back and forth, but he's making the attempt, and I'd like to amend it to the next cutoff.
Okay. And this would be a continuance of the imposition of the fine, the $250 one-time fine for occupational licenses?
Yes.
All right. And the hope is that in the interim he'll resolve it and we won't have to talk about it.
Exactly.
All right. I'll go ahead and amend our previous order of noncompliance, allowing the respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of the imposition of the one-time administrative fine of $250. Did I say that right?
Yes, sir.
Good. Thank you. All right. Case number 8, Florida Coca-Cola Bottling. Morning.
Good morning. Mark Watts with Cobb Cole, 351 East New York Avenue, Suite 200, DeLand.
Mark Criswell, City of Daytona Beach, Building Official.
Do you have the testimony
about
to provide?
I do.
All right, I believe we're here for a progress report. Who wants to go first?
Mr. Pekelger, since the last meeting, our clients have secured a consultant that's working on a replanting plan for the property. They did meet yesterday with Mr. Criswell and Ms. Miles to go over that plan. I think they've got a preliminary okay on it with some minor tweaks. We'll be resubmitting that. Ms. Langford and I spoke yesterday. We'd like to come back in 30 days just to make sure that the permits are in hand, and then probably 60 days after that for all the planning to occur.
Okay, you'd like to come back in 30 days for what now?
To just to verify a status report to make sure that the permits have been obtained. And then we expect that it'll take approximately 60 days after that to have all the replanting done and inspected and everything signed off.
All right, so you're thinking another progress report 1 month from now, and at that point we ought to be able to establish a compliance date 60 days down the road, assuming everything goes according to OIL.
Yes.
I would say the city.
Sir, we met with the landscape architect yesterday. The plan submitted is acceptable to the city. They have taken the permit applications with them. They are going to tweak the drawings to make them... they brought in preliminary drawings to get the okay first. We should get final drawings, I would think, in a week. So we're satisfied with the progress that's been made.
All right, then I'll go ahead and order that the respondent return to the May 11, 2010 meeting to provide us a progress report. And it's my understanding that hopefully by then the permits will be in hand and we'll be able to talk about a compliance date, which we're presently anticipating would be 60 days down the road, but we're making no commitment on that just yet. Very good. You're done?
Thank you very much.
Good luck to you. Case number 9 is in compliance. Case number 10, J.J. Curtis. Anyone here on behalf of the respondent? If not, what say the city?
If you recall, Mr. Kelly, this was our unfortunate gentleman that couldn't get a tag. Remember? And I went by and still has no tag. The vehicle has not moved. The city's looking for a small imposition of a fine.
This is the guy who's got the car, who can't get the tag because his license has been suspended.
And on alert that he can't get it, which makes it insurance related very seriously that he can't get it. It's not very often that I'm sure the tag office does that.
Well, as sympathetic as I might be, I guess his alternative is to get the thing towed
to move
out of
it,
there and store
it
somewhere else.
That's what I asked him to do. And
okay, well, all right, so what is it you're proposing?
A small fine, $25 a day, 2 weeks.
Has he made any effort to move this
thing? No, sir, it's tires are going flat on it. No effort. It's still in the same position. I would like to cap it, if we could, though, at $10,000. The house, unfortunately, is not much more.
Mr. McKelvin, why don't we go to the next cutoff, and I'll go out and tag myself, give him 10 days, and then I'll go.
That's another alternative, but, of course, the vehicle will be gone. It will be in compliance.
Right. How does that work now?
Well, the police department, I can get the vehicle now. He's got 10 days to move. If he does not get it,
all right, so then if I just continue this to the next meeting, then the police department has the opportunity to do that.
That would be pursuant to the city ordinances.
Well, I mean, it's obviously a junk vehicle right now.
Instead of relying on Land Public, so that's an alternative.
All right, then I'll continue this matter to the May 11, 2010 meeting for a progress report, and hopefully by that time this will be moot. Case number 11, M&M Holdings Incorporated.
Compliance 48.
Case number 12, Carl V. and Georgia E. Tripp. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
Non-compliance. This is a vacated property, possibly abandoned. The last I checked on the tax roll, still in her name. So I've had no other action or contacts by it. City's asking for an imposition of a fine, $50 a day with a cap of $25,000. It is a rental property. It is appears to be a duplex.
And it looks like they've just abandoned it?
That's what it appears, sir.
And no one's communicating with you?
None. I put postings on the doors. I started off with a courtesy card notice and nothing, no contact.
And what was the cap you were suggesting?
$25,000. It is in a residential district, but it's a duplex.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and fine the respondent the sum of $50 per day commencing April 6, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches $25,000 or the property is in compliance.
City would also ask that the interest incur on the $25,000 continue.
And that in addition to that, whatever interest that typically accrues on fines will continue unabated. You got that covered? Okay. Case number 13 is in compliance. Case number 14, Barry and Penny Compton. Anyone here for the respondents? Okay, what say the city?
They called me and I asked them, left a message for them to be here, but this has been a continuing problem for the city. This property's had numerous appearances before the board. I'm asking for an imposition of a fine. It's regarding a fence that's non-conforming. The fence is does not conform to the redevelopment area. Can't even be there to begin with, so they did not have a permit to begin with to put it up. So we're asking for a $100 a day fine because of the, I wouldn't call it total lack of communication, but cooperation, and a cap on this of $10,000 with interest to occur on that.
All right. You've asked the respondents to take care of this since you've been asking since January of this year?
Yes, sir. And they communicated with me that they were asking, they were waiting for the house. This is the Comptons now. They're asking for the house to go into foreclosure. That's what they're waiting on. And apparently that has not happened, so I guess that's why they're not here.
And what's the fix that would be required?
Take the fence down. It cannot be. It's non-conforming to the redevelopment area, and they did not have a permit to begin with for it.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and find the response. The sum of $100 per day commencing April 6, 2010, and continuing each day thereafter until the amount of the fine reaches $10,000 or the property is brought into compliance, and that fine will continue to accrue interest. Case number 15, Ella K. Wellington. Anyone here for the respondent? If not, what say the city?
This is much like the other one I just spoke about. This is a apartment complex with several units in it in a residential district that has been apparently abandoned. I did see foreclosure notices on it, and even Amy saw that at one time we had a foreclosure action started, but it was withdrawn, and the owner still has custody of the property. The city had to secure the property to city standards because we had an absentee or no contact from the owner. So we are in a position that we're now asking for a $100 a day fine, a $25,000 cap with interest on it. And no contact, sir. It is a police issue also. South Seagrave area, you can pretty much understand what goes on.
Okay, are we getting vagrants breaking into the place?
Yeah, we had some vagrants that were there. They're living in there. A gentleman was in there with a dog. We had to run that person out, and we're getting some drug paraphernalia at the rear of the property. Yeah, usual stuff down there.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent. The sum of $100 per day commencing April 6, 2010, and continuing until the fine reaches the sum of $25,000. Or the property is brought into compliance, and that fine will continue to accrue interest as well. New cases, William James Hutto, Jr. and Kava Shanetta Mallory Hutto. Morning.
Good morning.
Could you state your names, please?
Kava Mallory Hutto.
William Hutto, Jr.
Raise your right hand, please. Do you solemnly swear to the testimony you're about to provide,
that
you're
going to
hold truth and nothing
but truth?
Yes.
Okay, the notice of violation I have says encroachment, basketball hoop, and the public right-of-way are not permitted. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes. Do we agree that it...
Let me back up. I guess the allegation is that they've got a basketball hoop that extends over the top of the street. This is a portable basketball hoop.
Right.
So they're not allowed to move it out there at all?
If they want to move it out there and use it and put it back when they're finished, it just cannot be stationary and stay
okay.
out there.
Okay. All right. I just want to get clear on what the rules are here. So they can have their portable basketball hoop. They can even move it out to the edge of the street, but it has to be brought back away from the street after it's when it's no longer in use. Okay.
Okay, that's what we were, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's what we were kind of unclear of because when it said, the paper said the basketball hoop being in the right-of-way, I know one time that I had come home, the basketball goal was actually in the street. And I have, the goal is for my six-year-old son, and I nor him can move it, but there are some kids in the neighborhood that have come out and played with that goal when we're not there. My lawn man actually came and made me aware of that. And so when he came, he moved it back into right into that area at the edge of the street. And I didn't realize, I mean, up in my property, but on that curve, but I didn't understand that it was the fact that it was hanging over the street that was the problem.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt. It also can't be stored in the front yard. When it's not in use, it has to be on the side yard, behind the front edge of the house, in the garage, but it can't be stored in the front yard.
Oh, I didn't understand that. Because we did move it. We moved it up into the yard a little bit, but, and that's...
And that's not stated in our homeowners association either, that it can't be stored. That, we didn't know that was a city law or anything like that. It's not in the street. As you can see, it's in the yard on the driveway. And that's where it plays.
But okay, well, we're all learning something here today. Apparently the basketball hoop can extend into the street. I take you at your word when you tell me it was neighborhood kids who probably moved it out there. And from the looks of things, I doubt your six-year-old moved it.
No. Nope.
But what we are hearing is that the good news is you're allowed to keep it. You're even allowed to use it extending over the street, but it has to be put away, and it has to be put, what, at least in the side yard?
Yes.
At least in the side yard. Okay. All right. Can we do all that?
Yes.
No problem.
Okay.
Wait. When you say the side yard, you mean just pulled up closer into the yard?
Behind the front edge of the house.
The side yard, what I'm seeing, that opening that I'm seeing to the right of the garage,
the garage
just needs to be just past the front of the house.
Okay.
That'd be right there. I'll just get it on the back patio. All right.
And it's now been moved, so are you, is the city looking for a will fine?
No. I'm sure, I think, after talking with them here, that they're going to move
right
to the side.
Do I have the authority to just dismiss one of these things?
Yes.
All right, I'll go ahead and dismiss this case. I'm satisfied the respondents understand what has to happen now. And so...
I'll just move it to the back and it won't be a problem at all.
Well, you don't even have to do that. You just have to move it to the side yard. That's not that big a deal. And if the neighborhood kids are the ones dragging it out, you know, do what you can. I'm going to go ahead and dismiss this for now. If it becomes a recurring problem, then we're going to be at a different level altogether here.
Right.
And at that point, I won't have the latitude that I do now.
Right.
So there you go. Chalk one up to experience. Take care of it. See to it that it doesn't happen again, or at least do the best you can to keep it from happening.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Case number 17, 1308 Cadillac Drive Trust, dated 7207. I don't see a respondent, so what say the city?
There's still no occupational license for the property, so they're non-compliance. Next cutoff.
All right. The respondent not having appeared, and based upon our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in non-compliance and give the respondent until May 5, 2010 to come into compliance and will be returned for the imposition of the $250 fine for the occupational license. Case number 18, Keach Street Properties, LLC. Anyone here for the respondent? What say the city?
There was a truck there. It looked like the people that were living in the property are now out. There's been a small improvement. They are still in noncompliance. I have not had any contact at all, so noncompliance, next cutoff.
Okay. Respondent not having appeared, based upon our inspector's report, I find the respondent to be in noncompliance. Order the respondent to come into compliance by May 5, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Case number 19, James Cotton Jr. and Rebecca Cotton.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm not James Cotton. I'm Daisy Jackson. This is Rebecca. Mr. Cotton deceased, so I'm a sister. I need to talk for her.
You ladies will be sworn. Okay, the violation, as I understand it, is peeling paint that hasn't been attended to. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, they had a lien, like a lien on the house, but I got that straightened out now. And they could have
the whole house
could be repainted,
remodeled
inside and outside. And this is the person that came in. They already took pictures of the house and told me what everything that would be done to it.
The city is doing it, and they already okayed it. Ms. Mary Williams, this is just the tip of this house. And the people that can do the work came out on Friday and took pictures of the whole house. They're going to redo the whole house, the garage, everything, the whole house, the roof, the whole house, because the whole house needs to be done. But, yeah, this was painted on the University. And then Miss Mary, she got us to go sign. She got to retake all this back to her.
Did you just talk to Miss Wiley and got this information, so you're going to be working with her to get this done?
Oh, yes. Yeah, she already signed. People already done sending the people. She just got to take these things right here back to her. They already came out to work to do the house.
Well, there's an application process that you have just started.
We ain't just started. We've been started before Mr. Cotton died. But then after he died, what happened, Mr. Cotton signed for a car, and they had a lien on the house. So we went to the courthouse and got her a lawyer, and he tried to straighten it out, but some kind of way they keep saying it was there. But we took the death certificate down to the place that had the lien, and they just took the lien, took Mr. Cotton's name off it, and they straightened it out. Called Mr. Williams and said it's straightened out. They can go ahead and do the house.
Okay, well, let's try to simplify things. All right. First off, I would find the respondents to be in noncompliance. Sound as though the respondents already have the efforts underway to come into compliance. So, based upon what you've heard here so far, any ideas to a compliance date? Or is that something we're not going to be able to do?
It's going to be difficult to figure out a compliance date. Having experience with this department, Community Development? I would say 6 months would not be out of line.
Okay, when are we going to know if Community Development's actually going to do anything? Or do we know that
now? I can't answer on that one. I don't know.
Okay.
You mean fix the house? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Have you been given any indication as to how long it would take for them to actually come out there and start doing some work?
Well, they already came out and took the picture of what they got to do.
Right.
Ms. Cotton got to go to Ms. Wayne. She was out. The reason why we don't know no more because she was out on vacation for 4 days. She's coming back tomorrow. Okay. So she got to go back tomorrow and bring Mr. Cotton death certificate and sign some more papers, and then they're going to start the work.
Start the review process?
With experience of this department, what will happen in general is once all paperwork and everything is in, a group of cases will be gotten together, then they will be put out to bid, and then the contractor will schedule doing the work.
Yeah, they said it there.
We are looking at time to do all of that and time to actually do the work.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent return to the June 8, 2010 meeting for a progress report. Okay, let me tell you what I'm doing here. The agency you're dealing with is going to take some time. We're not sure how much time will be required. So consequently, neither you nor I could pick a date in the future as to when you'd be done with this work as it stands right now.
Yes, sir.
So what we'll do is we'll meet again right here on June 8th, and at that point, 2 months from now, hopefully we'll have more information.
Right, okay.
And we'll know where you are in that process, and we'll know whether when work may start, so that perhaps we'll know when work may end. But in any event, we'll meet on June 8th, and we'll see where we stand at that time.
Okay.
All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Case number 20, Loggerhead Daytona Marina, LLC.
Mr. Pekelja, there'll be several witnesses and stuff, so I'm going to be prepared.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Good morning.
Can I ask, is Mr. Florentine Vazalou here? No.
everyone's name who's going to be testifying.
Jason Neufeld, in-house counsel for Loggerhead Daytona Marina.
I'm sorry, your name again?
Jason Neufeld.
Okay, before I go asking any questions, Mr. Inspector, why don't you just give me a brief overview as to what we're dealing with here?
Mr. Kelly, this is a noise complaint, and procedurally wise, the circumstances would be that the noise complaint occurs in the early morning hours. The complainant would call the police department. The police department would respond. The police department would make a report. The report would be forwarded to me, and I would follow up on it the following day or business day, whenever we could, go out and make contact. If a violation is present and I have a complaint that I wish to pursue the situations, which I do, I would pursue it on the civil end of this rather than the criminal end of it through the code enforcement or special magistrate. That's pretty much the procedure for this particular case, pretty much what happened in this particular case. This particular case is involving Caribbean Jacks, located at 721 Blue Road. Our complainants and witnesses are involved are from a residential area just to the south on Lexington. That makes that little turn down there for a shoot. These folks have alleged in their reports and comments that this is a continuing problem and they're wanting some relief from the issue. I received notices about this as early as February 28th via emails. February 28th, apparently they appeared at the board here at the city and reported the violations. The board in CERN told the victims how to, or the complainants, the procedure for which they could go about making this complaint. On March the 1st, I finally got my first email regarding this complaint, and I went down and made contact with Caribbean Jacks. At that time, I made contact with the manager on duty, Robin Reynolds of Caribbean Jacks, informed her of the violations, the noise that was coming. I went out and inspected the area that was involved, and tell her that if there's any further complaints, we'd have to take more action, and that she was going to do what she could to soften it and put up barriers and stuff that she could do. They do have a sound permit. This is an outside deck that has a sound permit, and they're allowed to do that. But there are, of course, stimulating circumstances, and if you become involved, if it becomes a nuisance and they're informed, they need to turn it down. That was apparently the case on this. After having made contact on the 1st, on the 1st of March, which was bike week, received a police complaint that was dated from Officer Roman, that was dated on the 13th of March, basically having been called there in the early morning hours regarding this property. I should say not early morning, late evening hours regarding this property, as a noise complaint, and took an official report for that. I then subsequently received another complaint, another police incident on 321 for noise at Caribbean Jacks also. Since that party in time has occurred, I have found the property in compliance. I've had no further since then. So I put the property in compliance, and basically what the city is looking for now is a will fine for future violations.
How do we know he did anything wrong?
The complaints that we have from the residents, I followed up, and they do wish to make, they were insisting that the complaints occurred. And then under the article,
this isn't something you verified yourself.
This is something that I base it upon, totally upon, the police reports and the complainants themselves that pursue it and say that they wanted to pursue it, sir. Having been a criminal.
Back up and explain that to me again. Okay, so if you're not able to observe the violation for yourself, if a complainant fills out an actual formal complaint, that then arises to the level of the necessity for a notice of violation?
The police officer would go out and confirm. You
know, I can understand the police.
Yes, sir. They would go out and confirm.
They would go out and confirm what?
The noise violation. And they would subsequently write a report. And that's the report that I got.
And how do they confirm a noise violation?
Based upon the...
If I may, Mr. Bukowski, and just for the record, Anthony Jackson, Anthony Jackson, the city attorney, it's pursuant to an affidavit that's filed by the victim or the complainant, and this has been brought pursuant to Section 42.214 of the Code of Ordinances. And in the Code of Ordinances, it's based upon specifically stating no person shall offer to use or cause to operate any television, radio, musical instrument, stereo system, sound amplifier, or other music or device for the production or reproduction of sound in such a manner as to disturb the peace, quiet, and comfort of inhabitants of a residential area that are of reasonable sensitivity within the area of our village. So it's really based upon disturbance of the comfort of the inhabitants of the residential area that are of reasonable sensitivity within the area of our village. So it's not really based upon the officer's hearing, but the hearing of this person in the neighborhood that's being disturbed.
Before that is the police report and subsequent emails that I believe council does have copies of.
Okay, well, is there some method by which, obviously this is a bar, and I hope I'm not being insulting here. Obviously this is a bar. This is a bar that provides outside entertainment on the river. So on any given evening, I hear this. Okay, just like I hear motorcycles going up and down Holly Hill, but whatever. That's the price of living in Daytona Beach. Now, the question here is, does this property owner have some sort of objective method by which he can measure how much sound he's allowed to produce?
It's quite frank, and when you hear testimony from them, they do.
When I hear testimony from whom?
From the victim, that's the affidavit.
Okay, but what is his obligation? Is that defined somehow?
Yes, it is.
How?
There's a noise ordinance that provides a sound permit available to anybody in a redevelopment area or a restaurant of more than 50 seats with a permanent outdoor seating. The restaurants you're familiar with on Main Street and Caribbean Jack's.
Okay.
There's a decibel level that's regulated by time of day that has to be maintained.
All right. What's
that? Police officers enforce it with a sound meter from the property line. So when the police officers, and I'm not saying they did this, I'm saying this is what they're supposed to do. They receive a sound complaint, they come out with a meter from their property line, they measure that decibel level. Normally what they do then to the property owner is say, turn it down.
Okay, do we know what the decibel level is at Caribbean Jacks? Or is this like a sliding schedule?
Well, there is. Between 7 and 10 p.m. adjacent to a residential, it's 60 decibels, which is something that these officers are trained to use these meters to regulate.
Okay.
So if it's higher than that after 10 o'clock at night, then they're in violation.
All right.
So, yes, it is a measurable standard.
Okay, well, now that I've been educated on this, let me return to business as usual. All right, Mr. Neufeld, do you agree that this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
We do not, Your Honor. Indicated the police have an obligation to verify these noise violations by taking a department-issued sound meter reading according to specifications that are set forth in the city ordinance. They did not do so in either of these situations. That being said, it is our desire to be a good neighbor. It's our desire to be a good neighbor to both the complainants and to the city of Daytona. And what we are going to do is have our managers buy their own decibel meter rating, decibel meter, so that they can take their own proactive measures while nighttime music is playing, so we can avoid or at least minimize the chances of future complaints.
Okay. So, the respondent has denied that he is in noncompliance. I assume these witnesses came here to be heard on that topic.
That is correct.
Okay, Mr. Newfield, let me hear from our... Okay, I thought you were going to be testifying. All right, do we have police verification of excessive decibel readings on various occasions?
The city does not. The complainant does.
Okay. All right, Mr. Neufeld, have a seat for 1 second.
Yes, sir.
And you folks that came to be heard, come on up to be heard. Whatever order you like, just get to the point.
My name is Craig Thornton. I used to live on the canal there across from Kirby and Jack's at 266 Lexington. I left about 2.5 years ago. One of the main reasons I left because I just couldn't stand living there because of the noise. This noise problem started the day Kirby and Jack's opened, and it has not stopped since. If you want to get your decibel meter, you can take it over and put it inside my house at night with the doors and windows closed and see how you like it. You don't open your doors or windows on those days or nights when the weather is real nice and you want to do so, it's too loud. You want to sit and read a book, you can't enjoy it. You want to sleep, you can't. 1 o'clock in the morning when the music stops, then you can fall asleep. Some people can sleep through that. I couldn't. It was just a very, very unpleasant situation with them. And I've never complained, but as far as I know, people have been complaining for years. And this started with Caribbean Jazz.
Now, I hear tell, forgive me for interrupting, I hear tell that I guess 60 decibels is permitted.
Up to 60 decibels.
Up to 60 decibels is permitted. Anything beyond that is prohibited. Do you know what 60 decibels sounds like? And I'm
probably quite loud, and if you put a meter in my house, it probably would not read 60. But if you'd have to just come and sit in the house at night and listen to how loud it can be, and this is every night.
I guess the reason I'm asking, and I don't mean to be unsympathetic, but it sounds like he can generate 60 decibels, whether it bothers y'all or not.
Correct. Okay, yeah, we can't do anything about that. But this,
right.
I'm
kind of curious if you can give me some feel for how above and beyond that you think it goes.
Well, I think an outboard motor on a boat is like what, 80 or 90.
He was starting an outboard motor at nighttime, I definitely.
And I think your meter, you were reading meter measurements up in that level.
All right, I was just curious how offensive is 60 decibels, but I guess if you don't have one of these meter readers, you don't really have any method to gauge it.
Well, there, I don't know what the rating is over there, how high it is, but it's offensive.
Okay.
And it's on the water. I don't know if they realize how sound carries over the water. On the east side of Main Street Bridge, I don't want to bring them up, but there's another bar, and sometimes you think they're right outside your door when that water comes all the way across the river.
I understand.
And there are residents on the beach side that I'm sure are affected by Caribbean Jacks. And I know they're trying to make a buck, but you know, we just like them to show a little consideration. You know, I'm no longer living there, and that's one of the main reasons I left.
Okay.
And I think they're if they didn't have the bar, the live music there, and were just trying to serve nice quiet dinners, and one of us across the canal was to play music like they did, they'd have been here the next day, putting a stop to it.
10-4, thank you.
Okay.
Who else wants to be heard?
You probably remember we used to live next door.
Did we? What was your name again?
Craig Thorne.
Oh, okay. How you doing?
Good.
How many years ago was it y'all moved out?
Early mid-70s, and I just moved back 3 years ago down the street to your house.
Here on Morningside?
Yeah. It's still nice.
PK's still here.
Hi, my name is Cheryl Taft.
Constant irritant.
I'm Cheryl Taft. I live at 244 Lexington, and it's across the street from the canal that Caribbean Jacks is on, and I've lived there for like 8 years, and I don't know how long Caribbean Jacks has been there, but I've heard the music every night on the weekends, but recently it's gotten really loud where I've had to shut my windows, even inside, turn my TV up full blast to try to hear it. That's how loud. I've been a tolerant neighbor. I enjoy the music, but lately it's just been out of control. And that's all I just wanted to say.
Okay.
Okay.
This is Mr. and Mrs. Smith. They're the complaining parties from the affidavits and stuff.
They got the meter.
Yes, sir.
About the meter.
I'm Patricia Smith and my husband Donald. And for documentation, I'd like to show this to the magistrate. That's also a copy of your code there folded over with the numbers on it. That's my documentation on the days that I did document and the times and the levels. Now, even a couple of those, I went inside my house, which is a good 60 feet on our property, inside of the house with the doors and windows shut, and I was 62 on one and 64 on another.
We live about 75 or 100 feet from Caribbean Jacks. The canal is in the middle of us. And I just want to make a statement. How would you like to live next door to a live band that has lots of drums and loudspeakers? And one more thing I'd like to say is we've lived there for 26 years. We didn't just move there. If I put my property up for sale right now and they found out they were next to a live band, it would negate the whole deal. There's been times when we couldn't stand it, and I'd have to play a stereo louder than theirs to get some decent music. And it's been pretty miserable. Their music is drums and what else is loud? Mostly drums.
With amplifiers.
The amplifiers make the drums throb in your house. You can feel them. Sometimes you can't hear them, but you can feel the vibration. And you wonder. Now, when I've been there 26 years, I used to fish on my dock, used to go out in the evening and fish. I gave all that up. I gave it up. Because what fish is going to bite when it's boom, 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 boom? If it was decent music, now I say decent music, I'm talking about...
If you had decent music, the fish would bite?
It's subjective.
It's subjective, right. If you went in a nice restaurant, they'd have pleasant music,
soft.
You know? You could relax by it, music to relax by. And we don't even have company over. We're ashamed. We have a nice place on the river. We're so ashamed of our place now because of that music. The first thing people say, they look around and they say, how do you stand this? How can you live here? Now these people have it sneaked in under the radar. When they allowed that, we didn't know it was going to happen. We even spoke to the first owner. We met him on the dock. We saw the building. We went over. This is going to be a restaurant, huh? Oh, yeah, but it's just for the people living here on the boats. There won't be not many other people.
And they said it would be soft music.
And it would be soft music.
Nice soft music.
That was a
music.
Promise.
It was
going
that to was 10 years ago, and then, of course, Loggerheads had it for 3 years now.
Yeah.
So that's
okay.
Another.
Your turn.
We had our son was over and the other evening, and it was about 8:30 at night, and we could not even talk to him on our driveway because we had to go in the garage and shut the garage because we couldn't hear him standing like 8 feet away. It's I know it's subjective, but
Show me your
yes.
decibel reader.
It's right here.
It's just the Radio Shack. So you turn it on and like this. Let's see. Let me see. By now, when I start talking.
So the level of our voice right now is 65 to 70?
Right, because you're right back.
Right.
But I do this on my property, which is probably about 150 feet away from the source. The band standing on the south side of that of their deck.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, Ms.
Excuse me. We had another a couple neighbors who could not make it because they had to work today. They're just.
And as I look at your calendar, you're telling me on these various dates you had decibel readings on that machine of 65, 60, 74 to 77, 80, 76, 78, 80.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. And
well, let me give
and
you
I
that
wrote
thing.
Them down. Right.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Neufeld, did you want anything else after having heard from these folks?
I do. Last night, when I first stood up here, I asked if Mr. Vassilou was here. Has he showed up? Mr. Vassilou is one of the Smiths' closest neighbors, proximity-wise, and his wife called me. He's away on vacation, His wife called me, who's still in town, and said, just want to let you know that we think the noise levels are totally appropriate. And the one thing that they do agree with the Smiths on is they don't like the kind of music they play, that we play. And they say, but that's besides the point. The sound levels are absolutely reasonable. I received another phone call from Dick Turner, who is the president of the HOA, and he said, Mr. Neufeld, if you gave me a week, I could get a letter from the vast majority of our residents that would say, we enjoy Caribbean Jacks as a neighbor. Your sound levels are absolutely reasonable. One of the gentlemen, Mr. Thornton, referenced 1 a.m. music, and that simply has never happened since we've been the owners. Our music stops at 11 o'clock at the very latest every night.
No, special occasion.
No. I can't hear it.
Could I interrupt?
No.
No, I'm sorry.
That's
okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let this gentleman have his opportunity to speak. Then I'll let you speak again.
Right. So, the two reports that the gentleman referenced, or Mr. Ellison referenced earlier, were taken between 9 and 10 p.m. and 10 and 11 p.m., which is in accordance with our rules that state that music has to stop playing at 11 p.m. So, taking that into consideration, I also want to reference some of the comments that the respondents and the witnesses were making. Things like, I had to turn my stereo up to full blast. I can't imagine that that's anything short of an exaggeration. If your stereo was full blast, I don't know how that makes your auditory perception any better or any more comfortable. The fact that the decibel reader measured 65 or 70 while you were quietly speaking nearby it, I think speaks volumes as to either A, the accuracy of the decibel reader, or B, it's irrelevant in the first place because a decibel reader reading can only be taken by a qualified police officer with a department-issued decibel meter that has been regulated and calibrated appropriately. But again, I want to state that while we do not agree that we have violated any ordinance, we do want to take proactive measures to appease our neighbors and to appease the city of Daytona, whereby we will obtain our own decibel meter and take proactive readings at nighttime entertainment.
Can I see that you showed me earlier? May I see your calendar again?
Yes, sir.
You can give that back to her. Okay. I presume you yourself weren't on the property during any of these occasions wherein they've alleged that
no,
the
sir.
Home was excessive.
Your Honor, I was not.
Consequently, you can't offer any firsthand testimony regarding whether the noise was excessive or not.
I can only offer that the testimony that has been provided is, I don't know if admissible is the right word since we're not in court, but is somewhat irrelevant in this situation.
I don't.
And listen, we don't want to, we want to be good neighbors. We want to, we can't make everyone happy, but we can certainly put forth our best effort. And I would imagine that if we were to obtain our own decibel meter and take our own readings, that that may help alleviate much of the problems being discussed here today.
Okay, well, we need to take this out of the realm of chatter into some sort of coexistence here. As far as those residents over there, I'm sorry there's a bar next door to you. I didn't put it there, but it's there. So consequently, you're going to suffer some of the inconveniences resulting from living next to a bar. Okay? Now, with regard to you, you decided to put a bar right on top of a residential neighborhood. So, I'm happy to see you make a buck. I hope you do well. God knows there aren't very many successful businesses in Daytona Beach these days, and I'm sympathetic for all of them. But all of you are in this range that I call the Main Street area where right next to the Boot Hill Saloon, you got a bunch of houses backing up to it. So my point is, you know, there's got to be a little give and take on both sides. If these folks come in, if you're allowed to generate decibel levels of 60, and maybe it's at 62 or 63, maybe I wouldn't concern myself as much. But I have uncontroverted testimony to the effect that it has been louder than that in the past. Consequently, I find the respondent in non-compliance. Now, the question is going to become, what other relief is the city looking for? I assume he's in compliance now.
In compliance at this time, looking for a will fine.
Looking for a will fine. Okay, did you want to be heard on the will fine?
Explain to me again what a will fine is.
Will fine says that for every future violation, you may be brought back here for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Now, before you open your mouth, let me emphasize, we don't tattoo people with $5,000 fines around here indiscriminately. It's more of a graduated scale, like, okay, well, you've got a decent excuse for this one, it'll be lower. Oh, gosh, you're here now for the second time, it's going to be a little higher. Oh, gee, now this is the third time you've been brought before us, maybe we do need to tattoo you. So that's the kind of how it works. So now with that in mind, what do you want to say with regard to the will fine?
I'd like to ask the, again, I'm sorry, I don't go to many of these administrative hearings, I'd like to ask Your Honor to consider waiting until a police officer has been able to corroborate the sound decibel readings pursuant to your ordinance.
Can't do that divests these people of their legal right to basically complain.
Well, Your Honor, I think they have every legal right to complain, and then what's supposed to happen is an officer is supposed to come out on scene with his department-issued decibel meter and then take the appropriate measurements and put it in his report.
Okay, well, first off, we're getting too far down the road. We're assuming there's already been another violation. Okay, I'm not assuming there's going to be another violation. I'm assuming you're going to tell your people we can't let more than 60 decibels travel off this property.
That's correct.
And if you hear it go over 60, you need to clamp down on somebody and tell them to shut it down right away.
Right.
And if I hear things like that are happening, there isn't going to be a will fine as long as you make some reasonable effort not only to keep it at 60 but to correct it once it's brought to your attention.
Sure.
So I don't have a problem with that. And as far as verification down the road, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. This lady's got her own little decibel reader. She was put under oath. I have no reason to disbelieve what she testified to. Now, if there's a policeman there to verify, great. Okay. Anything further with regard to the will fine?
No, Your Honor.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and order that for any future occurrence, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence. Okay. Again, and I don't mean to be patronizing, but we run into this routinely, and I don't mean to be insulting, but I don't know where you are in the chain of command at Caribbean Jacks, because usually the way this plays out, is you're back here a month from now,
right,
and you're going to go, well, we had a new assistant manager, and nobody got the word to him, and he went ahead and brought Led Zeppelin out there, you know, and next thing you know, we've got the whole South Daytona Beach in an uproar. So my point is, the only thing I can do is emphasize, you know, I'm a reasonable person.
Sure.
You know what, apparently there's an objective level that you can deal with.
Right.
You have means by which you can keep it at it or darn close to it, and if it ever exceeds it accidentally, you know, then you need to correct it. So going to need a little tolerance on these folks' part, because I can't keep all noise from traveling across your property. They understand that. And a little effort on your part to see to it that you don't spill over more than you're allowed to.
Yes, Your Honor. We would also like to request that the neighbors please call us next time that they're that you perceive a violation.
I tried that before. They insulted me.
Maybe you guys can work something out.
Sure.
All right. Figure it out.
They called me the crazy old man that calls the police, the one across the street. So I won't try that again.
Might want to talk to your people about improving their people skills.
I think that's well advised.
Good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
And, sir, could I ask him one question?
No, but you can ask me.
Where this Mr. Vassilou, I've never heard of him. He's nowhere near my property. Is he down on Ballou Road or Brock?
You know what? It really doesn't matter, because I made my decision on the basis of who was here as opposed to who wasn't.
It sounds fair to me.
Okay, he spoke up here. He said that the 60 decibel thing, there was so many feet from the building, that was the level that was allowed.
Okay, y'all can check with her as far as that's concerned, because I don't know.
Okay, if I think what she said, if they fell in compliance with that 60 decibel, whatever it was, within so many feet of that building, there probably would not be an issue. Because you saw, you were talking, that was 65, whatever.
All right.
If we're at that level outdoors, 50 feet from the bar, it's not going to be. It's not going to reach 65 inside the house.
Okay. Well, so, the city will give you the guidelines.
Okay.
I don't pretend to know them. You folks are going to work with this guy. This guy is going to work with those folks, and hopefully none of us will be back here. If we are, we'll deal with it then.
Yes.
All right, case number 21 is being in compliance. Case number 22, Jose Morales.
Good to see you. I probably did.
Jose Morales.
Outside activity, parking vehicles, no permit. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I have my permit right here, sir.
You have your what?
My permit right here.
Okay, step up to the microphone. Up to the microphone.
I have my permit right here. I have a state license. I have a city license. I have a county license.
All right. Hang on one second. What's the nature of the violation?
The nature of the violation, sir, is not obtaining a parking permit, illegal activity outside by paying for parking in his parking lot during bike week, sir. The city previously had a will fine in place that has expired for this exact same violation. The exact same thing has occurred again, and the city is looking for the same, but it is now in compliance. He was issued a violation on 227. He came to City Hall seeking a permit for parking. He was denied. And I have witnesses at that time that admitted that he did say that they were parking before and he was getting paid for parking, but he wanted a permit now for it because I incited him and he was denied the permit. The permits that he's talking about, he had a permit several years ago that was denied and revoked. The permit was not, it was issued improperly, and that was many years ago involving the other case. So again, the city is looking for, saying that the property is now in compliance and that we are looking for a will fine.
Excuse me, sir. I own the property only 4.5 years.
What does ownership of the property have to do with anything?
No, because he's talking about it years ago.
Pardon me? Okay. The permits you have apparently didn't allow you to permit parking on your property. What? In February of 2010.
That's correct. What he has is a hotel motel.
Okay, and he applied for the parking permit he needed.
He And he was denied.
And he was denied.
Because it is an activity that is not allowed that he would not be able to do.
Okay, so why did you continue to park cars after your parking permit was denied?
I did not apply for a parking permit because I already have it in my permit in here. And besides that, once I come into the office and he asked for the application to get a parking permit, they will not give it to me because I can't take it home. I can't read or write in English. Okay, I don't have no right for nothing. A few minutes ago, he's coming right here. Un momento, por favor, to the officer was there. He laughing out of me. He embarrassed me. He humiliated me. He discriminated me many times. That person right there. He has a
person?
Right here.
Mr. Ellison?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Were you aware of the fact that you needed a parking permit?
No, I did not.
But you applied for a parking permit?
No, I did not.
You came down and asked for a parking permit?
I did ask it for the application. They did not give it to me.
Okay.
Because I had to take it to somebody else to read it to me. I can't read it right in English.
So you asked for an application to park cars on your property?
I asked for an application to take it to somebody else to read it to me to why I had to ask it for permits. You already have a permit, state permit. St. Lysia has Daytona Hilton. St. Lysia has all the hotel right here. I have it.
Okay. So apparently you asked the city if you needed a permit to park cars. Is that right?
Only I did ask it for the application.
Okay. And then the application was denied?
They never did let me have the application to take it to somebody else for the reading.
So they didn't even give you the application?
No.
Okay. What say the city?
I think Ms. Miles can speak on behalf of
you. You don't mind, sir. Actually, for every event, which is twice a year, we deal with this. And the permit that was erroneously issued, whether or not he owned the property at the time, was I issued a parking permit many years ago. I don't know how many is, but I could find out. And every event, he asked for a parking permit. And every event, he's denied because he can't park on his property. And every time this happens, he says he can't speak English. What he has is a short-term rental license by the state. It has nothing to do with parking. And he came in and told Mark Criswell and myself that Mark Ellison is harassing him and he wants to get a parking permit because he's not parking anymore this event, but he was just parking this event. But he stopped until he gets a permit. That's what transpired.
Why is he not allowed to park on the...
RP zoning, you're not allowed to do that in the master plan guidelines for that area. Sorry.
Okay.
And as you can see by the tags, and I stopped people coming back to the property that had admitted they had paid. He admitted he had paid to them during the first week, the 27th, when he came back into compliance. The next week when he came in to ask for the application, that was the following week. I believe it was Monday the 1st.
Is this property south of Main Street?
Yes, sir.
How far south?
One block on Harvey.
Right on the corner of Harvey. Right across from the church, sir.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and find the respondent in non-compliance.
Your Honor, may I approach and offer some testimony, please?
Sure, come on up. You would state your name and be sworn.
My name is Michael McKee. I'm a resident, 111 South Grandview, number 3.
Testimony about the
pride,
the truth, and the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, Mr. McKee, what did you want to say?
I believe that they are saying that he is not allowed a special permit, and I actually approached the mayor's office looking for these codes, and they were not available that explained anything that he is out of compliance. He is not out of compliance. He is given a business permit, and his tenants do have the opportunity to park their vehicles on the property, and he is, in my opinion, being nitpicked at how he can operate a business. He does have the temporary, whatever her terminology was, short-term temporary ability to rent, and they have somehow, which they have not provided in in any code book that he is out of compliance. They are trying to run his business for him. He does have the short-term permit, and they are saying that he does not have the opportunity to park for some reason that they're making up in their own heads, I believe, because they don't have it in the codes. I actually approached the mayor and was unable to come across anything that stated this fact that they are saying, and it's not a fact because it is not coded.
It's in the master plan guidelines.
You're familiar with this.
And it's not a permitted use south of Main Street to charge for event parking. And that's what we have not said that he's not allowed to allow his patrons to park their cars that visit him. It's to charge for bike parking.
Running a business.
Or car.
A parking business.
He is operating a business, and he has been given the permits for temporary rentals.
Okay. Have I already found the respondent in non-compliance?
Yes.
Yes. All right. I find the respondent to be in non-compliance. What are you looking for now?
Will fine, sir.
Okay. Did you want to be heard on the will fine, Mr. Morales?
Fine.
The city is saying they want me to enter an order that for every time you do this again in the future, you should be returned here for me to consider fining you. Did you have anything you wanted to say to that?
No, it's fine. I left the Cuba because I was humiliated stepping over there. They come into this country, they have a free country, I live in the same spot for one person. The men behind me.
Okay. I'll go ahead and order that for every future violation, the respondent be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine up to $5,000 per occurrence.
Okay.
Now, let me see if I can try to explain this.
And another question I want to ask it. He told me I can't park in nobody else's car. How many friends can come and park there? She told me, Coley Miles told me, I'm allowed to park a car, same thing he did, no charge to the people. Okay, which one I can enlist? The old three. One, he said, I'm allowed to park it, and another one, he said, I'm not allowed to park it at all. He went with the two police officers to the property.
Mr. Morales, did you ever see me, except during bike week? Do you ever see me except during bike week? This is when it happens. This is when the pay party.
Okay.
He never sees me.
When we have special events, there's a separate set of rules for those.
Correct.
And when you're outside a certain designated area or you're in a certain zoning classification, especially those that include residential, you're not allowed to charge people to park motorcycles or other vehicles there. And that's why you have to come get a special permit. You are in an area where you're never going to qualify for it. I mean, I'm not going to say don't apply. Go ahead and give it a shot. And maybe somebody, I don't know what the basis would be, but my point is, it would be like me saying, okay, you know, I live on Halifax. I want to start charging people to park in my front yard during bike week.
That would be a special
I would have to get a special permit for that,
correct.
But you know what? I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it because I live in a residential area.
I understand.
There's a certain designated area where that activity is permitted. I'm sorry, but you're not in it.
He is actually given the business permit.
Okay. Good luck, folks. If you got any questions, you need to consult the city. And
what for, sir? I'm in Spanish. I don't have no right.
Okay. Well, you get the application. You bring it to me, and I'll explain it to you. Okay?
Okay. I don't have no right.
I'll sit down with you till we both understand it. How's that?
I don't have no right.
You do have rights, but my point is, I'll at least explain it to you.
I think he will be happy with it once he understands.
I'll be happy to do it.
Would you be able to provide those codes? Because that is another thing.
You could actually speak to the zoning officer for that, and she'd be more than happy to provide it.
That's another thing that I couldn't come across. I actually went and asked for it, and they couldn't give it to me.
You can go right downstairs to permits and licenses.
Permits and licenses, right, and ask
now,
for me.
And they'll give you a copy of it.
Okay.
Okay?
Good luck to y'all. Case number 23, Regions Bank, doing business as Regions Mortgage and Felicia Martin.
Oh,
okay.
Judith Lane.
I'm Judith Lane. I'm here on behalf of Lynn Meyerson, who represents Regions Bank. Ms. Meyerson, welcome. I'm just asked to
have local counsel. Mr. Jackson, how are you?
Okay, I've read the motion to continue, and what say the city?
Mr. Kelly, the city's in a position that this property has been an eyesore for a long time. As you know, if you've read in there, we had a previous case on this, and it's just getting worse. The problem now is that there's debris and furniture stacked up out front. It's just really getting bad, and the city would like to proceed on this case to hopefully get some relief or cause someone to respond and do something with this property. There are transients. There are people that have kicked in the doors and broken in. I was by there just yesterday. There's doors standing open, and there's piles of furniture standing out front.
Ms. McKell, from there as well. It appears at least that we did go ahead and serve Ms. Martin based upon the representation from the attorneys. That there was some error and that Ms. Martin was still the proper owner of the property. She is apparently not present. If we were to proceed for the finding of non-compliance to ensure that the case is progressing, there's no problem at all upon obtaining whatever proof or whatever the Regency Bank ultimately does to correct. If they're able to ultimately correct the what's being represented right now in the public records of ownership, once that's done, we wouldn't have any objection to having them remove the faulty case.
You know, I don't know why, but none of this is registering with me. Okay, so, Counselor, Felicia Martin presently is or is not title holder?
She is presently not, but here is.
But she's supposed to be.
She is supposed to be.
And that's in the works.
Here is a quick claim deed.
I'll take your word for it.
It's in the works. It's been sent for recording. It has not been recorded. But
it's going to be recorded.
It's going to be recorded.
And once it's recorded, then she is back to title holder status.
That is correct.
And the only reason she doesn't have title holder status now is because of some error in the recording.
An errant deed was filed.
All right. And once she is... What is keeping her right now from bringing this property into compliance?
We have no idea. Regions is the mortgage holder. It is in foreclosure. They were working on a deed in lieu of foreclosure that was not consummated, and so it is in foreclosure proceedings. Regions got notice of this in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, knows virtually nothing about the property. Their counsel called me yesterday to ask me to attend because they couldn't attend by phone, but they don't take issue. They have no reason to believe that... the property is not in compliance. They just don't want an in personam jurisdiction against the bank. If it's in rem against the property or against Ms. Martin, they perfectly understand that the city has the right to do that if it's not compliant. They're just concerned about being named as a defendant.
You're here on behalf of Regions Bank.
Yes, Your Honor. And they had filed the motion to continue before consulting me. I really think for Regions it's a motion to dismiss based upon this quitclaim deed, as long as the city's inclined to allow the bank to be out and Ms. Martin to be in.
But the bank holds the mortgage.
The bank holds the mortgage.
And who has possession of the property right now?
Nobody has possession. There's been no final judgment, and there's been no deed in lieu of foreclosure to take possession.
Okay.
Which is the problem, I'm
Regions
assuming.
Regions is asking for a continuance. How long a continuance?
15 days would be sufficient. As soon as the clerk can record the quitclaim, we'll file a motion to dismiss based upon that, and would hope that the city would stipulate to it.
The only thing, Mr. Kess, I'm not sure, and it may not be necessary, but I'm not sure that they even have any contact with Ms. Martin, or if she's in agreement that this is the status. And not that I'm saying that I don't believe that this is the status, but I don't know if it's as easy as I'm just going to record a corrected deed and everything shifts back, or if...
Well, what about filing the corrected deed for Ms. Martin somehow dismisses the bank? I mean, we've had many a bank here in foreclosure as a respondent. I'm not hearing anything about her proper inclusion as the title holder that lets the mortgage company off the hook. Or are you going to tell me there is something there?
No. You may recall, and I don't know if you do, I mean, this property is familiar. It's been before you before. Ms. Martin was here concerning this property previously, and the inspector, upon her showing what she had received, indicating that there was a foreclosure and a deed in lieu, or at least that she had the paperwork showing that she had a deed in lieu, the inspector went ahead and dismissed with the expectation he was bringing the case against the bank instead, so that he wouldn't have these dual heads, since she was clearly no longer associated with the property.
Well, how did Regions Bank come to be joined as a respondent? I guess that's the question.
Regions Bank was added as respondent. They were added as respondent because they were owner of record.
By the errant deed.
They had recorded the deed in lieu, and as I think the letters, their motion is explaining, they're explaining now that was done in error. It was similar names, and they intended on recording another name, and that's the one they recorded. I don't know how much Ms. Martin relied upon that, what she's done since, and how it affects how immediate, I don't know her responsibility. So,
if I may, Your Honor, and I'm not trying to hold the city up with respect to going forward on the finding of the violation. The problem is Regions wasn't notified of this until late March. I think there was a March 16th notice of hearing that came out for today. It went to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. It finally got to the appropriate person within Regions managing the mortgage and the foreclosure, and they immediately took action, I think, and called Mr. Jackson at that time, and there was amended notice to re-include Ms. Martin. So I'm not trying to get a... Okay, I apologize.
What's that?
That's the green card.
Is that for Regions?
Regions, DBA Regions Mortgage, signature Mary Smith, 11910.
Well, that is news to me, having come in yesterday. The only notice I have in my file is after the March hearing. So,
okay. Your primary objective is to make sure, correct me if I'm wrong, that nothing I do right now prejudices Regions' argument that they shouldn't be a party to this.
That's correct. Is that it in a nutshell? Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. And what we're here on is a notice of violation, whether there's compliance or not, and then the amount of time required to come into compliance. Did you want to be heard on whether or not the property's in compliance?
I do not, Your Honor. I have no evidence with respect to that. And from the looks of the photos, it probably is not.
Okay. All right. I'm going to find the respondent to be in noncompliance. I do so without prejudice to Regions coming back to try to demonstrate that this board, or rather this special magistrate, didn't have proper authority over it to begin with. So what I'm saying is I'm finding them in noncompliance. I'm going to go ahead and order a compliance date in just a moment. But if you're able to demonstrate that we never had the property authority over them to begin with, then that ruling of mine is not going to be construed as any waiver of that argument.
Here's my concern. There was, in fact, an errant deed. There's no question that the city acted appropriately, I think, for the public record, suggesting that Regions own the property. They have since corrected that. And so as of today, I believe that the bank doesn't own the property. But at the time that the noncompliance issue was originally issued, they well may have been at least technically the proper owner by virtue of the errant deed. I just want to make sure that if they come, when you
okay,
say...
Well, you've asked for a continuance raising a number of technical issues with regard to the title of the property and its impact on a determination as to who the proper respondent ought to be.
Yes.
I've been provided notices from the city that would indicate that Regions was put on notice. So, yeah, you may very well lose that argument. I don't know. All I'm saying is that we're going to move the case forward, but it's going to be without prejudice to you, demonstrating to my satisfaction that we never had proper authority, jurisdiction, call it what you will, over Regions to begin with. Did you want to be? Did
yes.
you want to say something?
We did want to add Ms. Martin to the as a respondent in the case of this.
Okay, do you have any objection, Ms. Martin, being added
Absolutely
as a respondent?
Not.
I'll go ahead and order that Ms. Martin this matter be amended to include Ms. Martin as a respondent. All right, so what I'm doing is, the bad news is I'm denying your motion to continue the hearing. The good news is I'm going for, well, if you're adding Ms. Martin, are you going to be looking to?
Well, she's been noticed for the
She's been noticed for this proceeding.
So what is today's ruling? How does today's ruling impact her? I guess it binds you.
Yes.
Okay. All right, anyway, so I'm denying the motion to continue hearing, but I'm reserving, if you will, ruling on the argument raised by counsel regarding the propriety of Regions Bank being in this proceeding as a respondent to begin with.
Okay.
Okay, because otherwise I would have granted the motion to continue for them to argue that another day. I'm sure this is all clear as mud. How much time to come into compliance?
Mr. Kelly, the city is looking for a next cutoff date, but the property is not to be occupied and must be secured to the city. Therein probably lies another problem, but somebody secured it at one point. Somebody did. When it first
well, we still have Ms. Martin out there, too, so I understand. I understand it's unlikely to be Regions Bank, but we also still have Ms. Martin out there. All right, I'm going to go ahead and order that the property be brought into compliance by May 5, 2010, or the respondents be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. And I'm also requiring that the property be secured to city standards and that it not be rented, occupied, or otherwise utilized until the property is brought into compliance. How long to secure the property?
10 days, sir.
Order that the property be secured to city standards within 10 days. Failing that, the respondents be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. And securing it to city standards, just for your benefit, if you got locking doors, that's fine. But I would, you know, Regions is in this soup right now, and so it might be prudent of them to at least secure this property to city standards while it's awaiting your argument.
And with respect to those arguments, Your Honor, should we consider hearing them on the next calendar date, or how is it you'd like me to bring those
you
arguments?
You can coordinate that with Mr. Jackson. I'll do it whenever you want.
Okay.
I'll do it at the next meeting. We'll put it at the end of the next meeting. If it's something that's going to require a special setting, we'll have a special setting.
Very good. Thank you, Your Honor.
Right,
thanks
good
for
luck
time.
To you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thanks.
Case number 24, Samuel Merrill, Jr.
Best compliance, 412.
Thank you. Case number 25 is in compliance. Case number 26 is in compliance. Case number 27, Phyllis Hatton.
morning. My name's Phyllis Hatton Harbin. H-A-R-V-I-N.
Sir?
Jim Harbin.
Sorry?
Jim Harbin.
Jim Harbin, okay.
I'm sorry, your name, ma'am?
Phyllis Hatton Harbin.
Okay.
Raise your right hand, please. You solemnly swear the testimony about to provide the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. You've been cited for outside storage, dilapidated fencing and shed, junk vehicles, peeling paint. Do you agree any of these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Mr. Inspector, how long should it take to come into compliance?
30 days.
All right. The inspector has suggested you ought to be able to take care of this by, he says, 30 days, but the cutoff is actually May 5th. Can you have it done by May 5th, or are you going to require more time?
I think more time.
Okay. Is there any strenuous objection to additional time?
Well, it's something we're talking about. They have a running fine for the same stuff back from 2000. It's accrued up to $110,000 for their basically the same stuff, storage, junk vehicle, paint, fence, shed. They've been through re-inspections back then and even now, I guess.
Correct. There was an old case for the same violation, which has accrued a running fine of $110,000+.
Well, does that mean it was never brought into compliance?
No, it was actually brought into compliance, okay. But now we're back here again with the same situation.
So now we're repeat, and apparently it took me some time before, and I don't know if that because it can't be done, or was the heavy knowledge as to what happened before, or what's the condition now?
We're having a slight issue with the picture. The condition of it now is that there is excessive outside storage on the property. There are a few junk vehicles on the property. Mr. Harbin, I actually spoke with him yesterday doing my re-inspection on the property. He was in the process of dealing with the peeling paint issue. However, all the other violations still exist. The outside storage, the junk vehicle, the dilapidated fencing, everything still exists. I inquired as to how long and why there has been no progress. He's had some health issues, some employment issues. However, like I said, this is a repeat offense for the same issue, and it is excessive.
Okay. They say you ought to be able to have it in compliance by May 5th. You say you need more time than that?
Well,
probably about 60 days. One question. Were the city officials also sworn in?
Yes, sir. At the beginning of
just a point of record. The statement was made by the city officials that it is a repeat violation of the same thing. There was not any violation of peeling paint in the previous case back when it was. And if it was, it's not to my knowledge.
The city is going to be late today.
But you know, the whole point is there has been, as he stated, some health issues, some economical issues as far as dump fees to take stuff to the dump to get in compliance, equipment breakdown. With 30 to 60 days, we can come in compliance. We've been making attempts to get
okay, that's
appropriate
fine.
Finance.
I'm going to go ahead and order that the respondent be in compliance by June 2, 2010, yes. Or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. What are we going to do about this old running fine?
I said running, is it fixed?
The fine is running.
Is
it
accruing interest at this point?
Okay. I don't mean to be offensive. Is the house worth $110,000 or whatever the fine amount is?
To be quite honest with you, I did not look at the current value of the property.
Okay, well, I'll leave it up to the city, but this might be one of those circumstances that while we're addressing the new matter, we might want to revisit the old fine. And I'm not, you know, and if the respondents don't want to resolve it with the city right now, set it in an amount that it'll stay at until it's ultimately paid.
Absolutely.
Okay, but that's the, I'll leave that, I'll defer to the city on that. Okay, folks, you got till June 2 to come into compliance. And with regard to that old fine, it's going through the roof. You might want to talk to the city about trying to figure out some way to resolve that.
We need to know who to talk to, because we're having problems as far as trying to get grants to repair the property. We don't have the finances to do things that need to be done. We can't get a loan because of the liens that the city has.
Right. Okay.
I can tell you this, it'll start with you being in compliance, so you're going to need to take care of what you got going on now, and then we can start seeing who, you know, whether we, which method we'll use to try and deal with it.
Because I'm pretty sure the last thing you're going to want to have is new fines to deal with.
Yes.
When you're trying to get rid of old fines. So, in any event. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Case number 28, Norman H. Riley.
Did you call for 28?
Yes, sir.
Pardon?
Yes. Norman Riley. Yes, sir. If you would please state your name and be seated.
Norman H. Riley, live at 1132 Lakewood Park Drive.
Can you raise your hand, please?
I'm sorry.
Can you raise your hand, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do that every time I talk.
Thank you.
Mr.
Riley, do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
Do you agree these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
I apologize. Let me read that, what you've got here for me. Okay. I misplaced my letter. Now, believe me, I'll try to keep things together, but I misplaced it. But I did make some notes on it. Let me see where I'm at here. No permit for fencing and no occupational license for rental.
Did those things happen?
Let me see what I'm doing here. It's my thing. My thing is operating correctly here. I want a recording of this.
Let me see what I...
I apologize. I guess both of them go down together. Okay. I apologize. Again, I'm back with you. I apologize. These do, and there's several things that I would like to just bring to your attention, if that'd be all right.
Are we in agreement that these things occurred?
Yes.
Okay. I find the respondent to be non-compliant. Hang on one second. How much time is it going to take for the respondent to come into compliance?
30 days, the next cutoff.
All right, and the city has indicated that whatever these conditions are something that you ought to be able to fix by May 5, 2010. Now, having said that, go ahead and say whatever you wanted to say.
Okay, sir. All right. At this time, I'd like to present to you a request for permit and some notes that Colleen placed on the back. And I'm also going to hand you some pictures that I've taken of the things that go on in my area, or that is the fences that are already up in the vicinity. Okay.
Okay, and why am I looking at these pictures?
This property, 340 Taylor Avenue, backs up on the homeless shelter. If you notice my pictures, there was evidence there. There's a great deal of chain link fencing in the area. Was that evidence, sir?
Well, I saw chain link fencing. I don't know what areas we're talking about. I don't know the zoning.
That's on 340 Taylor Avenue.
Okay. Well, all right.
Did you read the note from Colleen?
I read the note from Colleen.
Okay. That said that there would be no more fences in the vicinity and whatnot there.
Well, I thought it said it had to be a 6-foot chain link fence in the front. Couldn't be a chain link fence in the front.
Within 150 to 200 feet of my property, there's a cement plant, there's a homeless shelter, there's a warehouse. The neighbors on my street, there's six houses on my street that do not have chain link. Now, they're not all 6 feet. I'll state that. Three of them are concrete block, which are very nice, and the chain link fence looks all right. I think the pictures and look pretty nice on the way that our fence was installed there. This house was empty for over 20 years. I got to go down every day and pick up the beer bottles, the chicken boxes, the sacks from the homeless shelter of people coming into my area. I was upset. I go over, I get out of my car to pick up the beer bottles and whatnot. The neighbors made a habit of bringing their dogs down. They thought that my lot there was a park. And so they'd bring their dogs down. Kids across the street played football and things. I didn't mind them doing that. And I kind of hate taking that privilege away from them because they were nice kids. Out of frustration, I had a friend that needed a place to move. So I allowed him to move in there. He has a couple of puppy dogs. They're nice dogs. I go up, I walk right in. But he did put a fence up so they wouldn't be a problem for anyone. Is there anything else that I can talk to you about?
Well, all I can tell you is that I guess the fence isn't permitted, and I can't relieve you of that obligation. The only thing you could probably do is request a variance. But
do you know what a variance would cost? Do you have any idea what a variance would cost?
No, sir, I don't.
Mr. Sampson, you have any idea what a variance would cost?
No, sir, I don't.
Colleen, are you here?
No,
Colleen's not on the property. Let it be so noted. It would probably cost $800 or something for a variance, okay, with a rigmarole that I've gone through with variances before, okay. With surveys, different things, you know, that come up. It just... I look at my city... and I see what my city has become. It breaks my heart. I own property in Daytona Beach. I have owned property. I worked at Florida Power and Light for 37 years. I've lived here since 1951. And I see what my city has become. And the little chain, I saw the lady there that had a property down on Seagrave. She didn't have a fence around hers. And hers was damaged all over. You've got to put a fence up to protect, okay? Now, the concrete plant didn't put up a three-foot fence. The fiber optic place right on the corner with 125 feet of my property, they didn't put up a three-foot fence. They put up a six-foot fence. The warehouse right across the street from me, about 100 feet from my property, they didn't put up a three-foot fence. They put up a six-foot fence. The same thing all the way around. The police come almost every night and park. Mine is a corner property, and the police come and set in two or three cars right there so they can look down Taylor Avenue at the activity that's taking place on Taylor Avenue. Okay? Saturday morning, when I took those pictures right there, there was a policeman that cruised that block. I was there for approximately 20 minutes taking those pictures, and he went around the block five times while I was there. Now, obviously, he wasn't just concerned with things on Taylor Avenue. He was concerned with some things taking place probably on North Street there. But he used that. Before I allowed this young man to move in there, the homeless would come over, drink their beer, break their bottles on my property, just all kind of activity, okay? So out of frustration, I let him move in there.
Okay, Mr. Riley, I don't disagree with the need for the fence. I'm sympathetic with your being subjected to ordinances that can sometimes look arbitrary when you consider how the rest of the neighborhood might have deteriorated. But all that having been said, I don't have the authority to say, okay, you don't need to do anything. I don't have that authority. So, like it or not, the only person who hears the variances, is there a Board of Adjustment?
Board of Adjustment.
The only person that would have the authority to give you the relief you're looking for is the Board of Adjustments. I might very well say, yeah, I understand, all that makes perfect sense to me, we'll go ahead and make an exception in this case, but that's not my prerogative. I don't have that authority. So, having said that, the next question is, are you going to pursue this with the Board of Adjustments? Because if you are, then I'll give you the time you need to pursue it. If you're not, all I can do is just reiterate what they've already told you as far as the ordinances go.
I will how complicated is that?
I don't really know, but why don't we do this? I'm assuming this fence is not a life safety issue.
No, sir.
Okay. All right. Why don't we reconvene next month? That'll give you 30 days to find out what's going to be involved to appear before the Board of Adjustment. And then at that time, you can say, yes, I'm going to do it. This is how much time I'm going to need. Or you can say, the heck with it. It's too involved. It's too complicated. It's too expensive. It's too whatever. And we'll just talk about coming into compliance. Those are the only avenues I have available.
Now that takes, that's one thing that we're talking about. We're talking about a fence, right?
Yes, sir.
No occupational license for rental. I don't have an occupational license for rental. I'm not renting, is what I'm saying.
Did you look at the city ordinances defining renting?
I'm sorry?
Did you look at the city's ordinances defining renters?
No, sir, I didn't.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're reconvening in a month anyway. So you might want to look at the Daytona Beach city ordinances as far as how they define renters, and then we'll hear that argument then. Is that fair?
Can I put on record?
Sure.
I have a Webster's Dictionary with me, and okay. If I can find the word rent here, I'd like to read that for the record.
By all means.
A stated payment at fixed intervals for the use of a house, land, and so forth. Income from the ownership of real estate to get or to give use of a house, land, automobile in return for stated payments at fixed intervals to be let for rent, as this house rents for $75, available to be rented, and so forth. My house, a young man needed a place to stay. I could have let him move in under the bridge, I reckon. Okay. As it so happened, I've been paying taxes on this thing, but nobody in it. And I have had plenty of activity from the city, okay, for an empty house and a lot sitting there for a number of years. I let this young man move in, okay, and he had a couple of puppy dogs, which probably helped. And anyway, that's how we happened to come to the point where I'm happen to be speaking here this morning.
All right. Well, what I would suggest you do before we meet again on May 11th, that's when we're going to reconvene with regard to the fence and whether you're going to pursue the Board of Adjustments for whatever relief they have. And at that point, is there any urgency to address this rental issue right now?
No, sir.
All right, we'll address the rental issue. I would urge you, though, to read the city's ordinances defining rental, because, unfortunately, Webster's Dictionary is not the body of law that I answer to. The Daytona Beach City Ordinances is. So you may want to look that up there.
Has Daytona Beach, do they have their own definition of rental? Do they supersede Webster? I mean, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, it'll definitely supersede Webster's. I can promise you that. The law says if you include a term in a body of ordinances that you specifically define, then that definition is the one that applies as to some definition of common usage. In any event, we'll talk about this on May 11th. You decide whether or not you're going to the Board of Adjustments.
I carry one of those with me. That's my Constitution of the United States. George Washington would hang his head if he saw what goes on here. I'm not trying to belittle anybody or anything. We've all got a job to do. But when I have to stand here for seeing things like this, I'm 75 years old, and here I stand doing something like this on a Tuesday morning, frustrated that my country has come to this. We've got boys out there that could pick up a paintbrush and paint those houses, could rake those yards, and for some reason, our law or a judge will not let somebody walk on somebody else's property and clean it up a little bit and help them out. In other words, we'd like to put them down there in a homeless shelter behind me so they can drink their beer and go over there and bring their papers back and throw them on my yard. I apologize for getting frustrated. It just
Well, you're getting frustrated.
Aggravating.
You're getting frustrated prematurely. We haven't heard the argument yet.
The argument for what?
Take a look at the ordinances, see how it defines a renter.
Well, a rental said I don't have to have a license.
Okay. Take a look at the ordinances. We'll talk again on May 11th. And between now and then, you need to decide whether you're going to pursue any relief from the Board of Adjustments. And you might want to ask them about the, any methods or means by which you can have your matter heard without all the preliminary, without all the other stuff they make you spend money on. You might ask them about that.
Okay, thank you, here. I appreciate it.
You.
Thank you.
Case number 29, Paul Protentis.
Case number 29 at 532 Fairmont Road is in compliance of April 7th.
Go ahead.
I asked before, afterwards, if we could go ahead with number 32 and 31.
Okay. Well, first off, is there anyone here on number 30? Ali
no.
A. Nasser?
No.
Two cases left for 31 and 32, sir.
They're here. They're present. Yeah.
Okay, well, all right, well, hang on a sec. So who's the inspector on case number 30?
Me.
All right. What say you on case number 30?
Non-compliance next
cutoff? All right, I'll go ahead and not having a response. Yes, you can bring them up. Not finding, not seeing a respondent based upon our inspector's report. I find the respondent in case 30 to be in non-compliance in order that he come into compliance by May 5, 2010, or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Okay, case 31, Johnny Evan.
Evans. I'm Pamela Evans. This is my husband, Johnny Evans.
Okay. Y'all would please state your names and be sworn. You've already done that part.
Do you swear the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The notice of violation says failure to repair, replace the damaged roof and fascia, failure to replace all broken windows, failure to clean and paint the exterior walls and fascia. Do you agree that any of these violations existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then I find the respondent in noncompliance. Madam Inspector, how long should it take to come into compliance?
Well, in speaking with Pamela the other day, I'm going to direct her to our community development. So I'm actually probably looking for a progress report, either the next cutoff or the 60-day.
Okay.
And
what
you say said it's on the second floor.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What say the respondent to that?
Yes. Okay. That's... We've called, you know, we from the first call. All right, it all started with the hurricanes, and then.
Okay, stop.
Yeah, I know.
You've been here all morning.
I don't want to be here any longer either.
You're getting everything you want, so.
I just.
So let's
wanted
not
to try to
let's
explain
not look a
how
good
it happened.
Special magistrate in the mouth.
Okay.
Yeah, we were doing fine living there and everything, and then I got sick.
Sorry
and
to hear that.
And the hurricanes
I've
and then the
I've had nine operations
and
in the past 2 years.
All right, then we will do this. We will reconvene this matter. Yes. We will continue this matter to our June 8, 2010 meeting for a progress report based upon your representation to me that you're pursuing assistance from community development, and hopefully on June 8th you can tell me where you stand in that regard, and as time goes on we'll get a clearer picture as far as when we could possibly come into compliance.
Right, because
okay?
We would love to move back into our home.
I understand that. Mm-hmm. All right.
Can we submit the name
Evans?
Yes,
it's
Evans.
Evans. Very good. All right, good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Case 32, Ralph S. Hanger.
Oops. Excuse
me. I'm Jerry Swindle, but it's my truck that we're talking about.
All right. No, we'll talk to you.
And to be honest with you, I'm ready to have it. It sure is.
Okay, you are not Mr. Hanger, but as I understand it, does he know you're here?
Yes.
On his behalf?
Yes.
Okay.
It's my father-in-law.
All right, hang on a second. Do you agree this violation existed or occurred as stated in the notice of violation?
Yes, it did.
All right, I find the respondent in noncompliance. Madam Inspector, how long should it take to come into compliance?
The next cutoff.
Okay, the inspector seems to think you ought to be able to take care of this by May 5th. What do you think?
I don't want to sit here again, so yes.
That's a common theme. Okay, very good. And I'll.
Do I call her on May? Yeah. Call. Okay.
I'll go ahead and order the respondent to come into compliance by May 5th or be returned to the special magistrate for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day thereafter. Be sure to get this lady's card.
Okay.
Because once you're in compliance, you give her a call, she comes out, she verifies it, then that's the end of it.
I'm going to have it towed away. I don't want to say it again.
All right. Good luck to you.
I was fixing it, but it ain't worth it.
All right. I understand. Good luck to you. Case number 3, Jose F. and Biana E. Gonzalez.
Compliance. Yesterday's date.
Go ahead, take your time.
Nice meeting you. I'll get together as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Case number 34, Samuel and Patricia White.
Compliance. April 12th.
Okay, now, as much as I'd love to get out of here, miscellaneous business. I have some questions. With regard to all the Halifax reclamation cases and the Klink case,
yes,
we continued all of them at the last hearing until May 11, 2010. And I was just curious. I couldn't remember why we continued it. Is there something that's going to happen that might resolve these things, or was it just a matter of somebody getting ready for a hearing?
He met with the inspector, Mr. Hughes did, I think, on the property.
They were working on some things that I think they could comply with, but there were some things they needed city special approval.
Yeah, the DEP was a bit an issue also, if I remember right.
I think it was mostly just narrowing it down
yeah.
to get a better handle on what, you know, minor things could be corrected before getting geared up for the big issues, I think. Because there might be some things that are... And I think he wanted to also... The way it's set up, its ownership's different, and the properties are different.
Well, I'm going to call for that, I don't think.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. Now, my next question, Harmon Investments. This is the property down there on A1A where the guy mm-hmm. dug up the dirt and put rock or something like that in there.
Is that
and
919? That guy again?
Okay. I wasn't sure when he was coming back, so that answers that question.
I believe it's next month. If it's not next month, then it's June, but I'm pretty sure it's next month.
Okay. Okay, that's all I have. Any questions to be raised? Bama, we're out of here.